Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I hope everybody had a great weekend. It is Monday. It is the relief rally day. we had a little bit of attacking over the weekend with Syria, and of course, the markets were a little bit afraid of that over the weekend, and now they are back to rallying and have reached a key spot of where they're going to make a decision. I think the key here is you watch the volatility. I think when you look at it, you saw, you know, what we talked about in oil, the backwardation formation, and certainly oil was down a little bit, and it looks like it has probably peaked. And that would be, again, because now the news is in. You know, we talk about this on a regular basis, how to understand news and what it means, and of course the news is in, the news is out, but when the anticipation of the news is always something that you watch, because as we talk about, the markets price events in, they price information in, and as we look ahead, and as you saw on Friday, let's look back first. We talked about JP Morgan, and we said that we would go home and be short JP Morgan into earnings. Why? Well, because, again, not that the earnings are going to be bad, but they've already priced in, you know, these 16, 17, 18 times earnings. Where are they going to go from there? That's something that you want to always understand, is what we call market expectations. And the expectations were there, and they priced in the expectations. You know, one thing about trading and investing in markets is people do the same thing over and over again. Okay, it's the Albert Einstein, and of course they price in the markets. They buy in the case of looking for good news. They buy, and the next thing you know, the buying is over, and the news comes out, and oops. Okay, here we are. The markets are no longer, that interested in that story. And here we are, as we saw, JP Morgan fell quite a bit after it had opened higher. And that's what you expect from markets in general. They have a keen way of pricing in that information. And sure enough, that's what happens. So the oil story was very simple. Again, look, it was very painful, and I'm not going to take that away. And, of course, my buddy with the same namesake continues to believe that oil is going much higher. I again do not believe in that, but it doesn't mean that he's wrong or I'm right. But what I do say is that as I look at it, the markets were afraid, and once they priced the information in, and once we saw the event is over and oil sold off. So that is something that I think you have to always keep in mind and remember, is, again, how the markets function and what they work off of. So when they work off of that kind of information, here we see it. The markets did fail based on, you know, what after the news is out, because the news is out, there's nothing else to really talk about. So here is, again, a way to evaluate and to, you know, see where markets are going to head and what they're going to do. And we would look for the equities are at a key spot. Again, I still believe the top is in, but I'm going to be a little bit more cautious here, because I think now you got to watch the VIX a little closer, you know, as we talk about, you know, what's going on as volatility gets crushed. That takes away, that brings in more complacency. Complacency brings in a market that is more tend to rally. But I think you want to watch the strength and the power of the rallies. And we were in a period when the markets looked like they were downtrending, that we had these rip your face off rallies. You know, now it doesn't, you know, the rallies are not, they don't feel the same. They feel more constant. So again, there's going to be either a major drop, you know, a few hundred points, you know, down again, you know, obviously worse than Friday, or the markets could steadily try to climb and test the next level of resistance. And that is something that we, you know, we have to continue to watch and focus on, is what's next and how the markets are going to react. Because again, the Syria deal is over, so now maybe it's back to focusing on earnings. And when we focus on earnings again, we go back to, well, that information is pretty much priced in, so it's not for us to get too excited. I'd still think that we would be headed lower, but I'm not going to be, this is not a time for aggression. I think you can be more aggressive in the oil markets. I think you see, you know, the grains are a little bit weaker. You know, those are places that you want to look for. But again, as you watch and learn to observe markets, the way that you observe them is the force or the way that markets move. I think that's something that is important to understand in general, is what are the markets kind of communicating? And so right now, with falling volatility, the markets are communicating that they're probably going to try to drift a little bit higher here. So we got to watch the VIX, right, and make sure that we have an understanding. And that's where, you know, the read or the understanding of how the market is functioning. And that's, you know, sometimes we say that you're better off observing than you are being involved, because sometimes you just cannot be able to put yourself in the right position based on the information that the market is giving you. And that's something that I want you to keep in mind when you're looking at the market and you're observing the market, is, you know, what's the, how does it best work out for me? What is the best result? And I think this is, you know, something you'll see. And if we take a look at a couple of, you know, products, you look at the dollar, you look at the at gold, those are both in deep consolidation patterns, not really doing much of anything. So you can look and say, well, it's going to, or it's not going to. In the meantime, it's really just torn between two levels, or torn between two levers. And until it decides that it wants to break one way or the other, it's sometimes better not to trade them. Now, if the range is wide enough, you can look at this, trading the tops and the bottoms. But, you know, again, the news is out. The markets have spoken, and they had, what they're telling you is that they over-evaluated what the missile attack would do in oil, and they over-evaluated or under-evaluated what might be the damage in equity. So you do see them going in opposite directions today, and it's not that it's going to stay that way, but this is, again, the first reaction after a return from the weekend, and that'd be something that we would be looking for going into the future, and how we look at the market. Because that, again, it goes back to, how do you study the market, how you look at the market, and what makes the most amount of sense based on what the market footprint is telling you. And that's always something that we want to make sure that we understand, is what is the message of the market, what is the market communicating to me. And if you learn that, you'll put yourself in a much better position in the future. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, as always, we want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day. Again, we're trying to get to 1 million downloads a month, and certainly could use your help. So, and besides, it's a good show. So check it out. And don't forget, if you'd like to help us on our high school investing program, it's highschoolinvesting.com. You can check out what we do. But if you'd like to help us, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, to go ahead and help us out. And we're going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. We're coming right back with more, and Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show. Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, and the Ka-Ching Report. And Jane King, Well, I don't know what's happened with the trade wars, with Syria, with everything that's going on. Tell me, give me some help here.
Well, I wish I knew. It's day by day. It's not hour by hour on Wall Street these days. I spent half the week in Las Vegas. I was there for a broadcasting convention, so a lot of meetings. So I feel like I haven't been quite as on top of this as I normally am. But I did get the chance to watch the entire Mark Zuckerberg testimony on the plane on the way back on Wednesday. And that was very enlightening.
What did you think?
Well, I think I was actually kind of shocked by how little technical knowledge our lawmakers have. There was one representative who called him Mr. Zuckerman. I was like, kidding me? You don't even know the guy's last name. There was somebody who didn't know the difference between Android and iOS. Another guy said instead of streamlining. I mean, I was like, wow, this is really interesting and a little disconcerting. I mean, this is the future, and these guys are creating policy, and they didn't even know some basic stuff.
Well, they don't know much to begin with, so that's just another story. I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, I get really irritated this week from listening to some of the pundits. I won't name names yet, but I may someday. But, you know, everybody's trying to create this such dramatic fear from the potential trade wars. In the meantime, you know, I think you and I both agree that the markets are the all-time scorekeeper, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, money is the scorekeeper, I think, in my opinion.
That's right. I mean, and you've got like, how many millions of people, you know, betting their money on and opinions. And so, I mean, it's like the most objective thing out there, really.
So grains are are near contract highs. So Every day I hear, oh, the soybean farmers are so much trouble. And I go, yeah, they're almost at contract highs. So how much trouble are they really in with this whole trade war talk? And of course, you know, if you go back in history, and you're from a farm family, so you know this, but if you go back, I mean, we had the farmers have had troubles long before the trade war talk ever came up. I mean, they've been basically tortured with this pricing, affordable food or whatever it is for 20 years. So what do you think of all that?
Well, you know the market. I mean, and you know the saying, it makes fools out of the largest amount of people possible. So that's exactly what it's doing. There's dry weather, I think in Argentina, South America. So that's one of the things helping. Funny how it all works, right? I mean, when it comes to at least the farm commodities, weather is really the most important thing. I mean, it's, you know, you got a drought, forget everything else. But I mean, it's, you know, and the president this week said, look, we're going to, you know, expand some selling opportunities for ethanol. That's going to help the farmers. But the market seems to be helping them okay right now. Who knows if that'll happen? I do think there's kind of a feeling that something's going to be worked out with China. They blinked a little bit this week, then kind of backtracked. So who knows? But I think that they know that these policies that they're doing are not fair. I mean, they were created a long time ago. China's the world's second largest economy. They need to be adjusted. And I think China, I mean, they know this, and they're just trying to get the best deal they can. So it's going to be redone. It's going to be a fair trade deal in the end, but it's not going to be easy.
And I agree with that. And what do you think of the talk of going back into TPP again now? What's your take on that?
Well, interesting. I mean, you know, President Trump has never been really a protectionist or anti-trade. I mean, people would paint him that way during the election, and I was like, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is these trade deals need to be renegotiated. He's not saying let's ditch them altogether. He wants them fair. He wants to protect the American worker, the American economy. So he just wants to redo them. And so I think if TPP can be rewritten in such a way where it expands markets for U.S., but doesn't, you know, give unfair advantage to other countries, I think he would do it. So, he's never been anti-trade. He's just been pro-fair trade.
I agree. And should we all be? I mean, you know, we're not lobbyists.
Absolutely.
That are trying to line our pocket, you know, because of the deals that we
so
make.
It's difficult to understand. I mean, one thing that he suffered from through the whole election was people kind of, you know, he would say things and they just skipped over the nuance. And would be like, oh, he's protectionist. He's anti-trade. He's, you know, and that's like, that's not what he's saying. Like, he's not anti-immigrant, for example. He just wants it legal. He wants to make it legal, and he wants to have it make sense. I mean, So I don't, like, you know, again, I mean, we talked about this before. These pundits supposedly the smartest, highly educated people on the planet, but they can't get these nuanced things about policy.
If he was anti-immigrant, look who he married every time.
Well, right. I mean, it's, and I think most people feel that way. Most people are like, we just want some, it's anarchy the way it is right now. There's no consistency. Nobody knows the rules. You know, I had a friend who married an Irish guy. And he had trouble getting an American citizenship because when he was like a teenager, he sold a candy bar. And, you know, I wrote a paper for him. Some other people were supportive of him. You know, he had his own business. He had children. I mean, all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is so screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that needs, you know, that needs to be straightened out.
And I know we didn't talk last week with the jobs number. What did you think of the jobs number? And I'm going to tell you my concern after I hear your opinion of the jobs number.
I mean, it was weaker than expected. Of course, you know, in the convoluted world of Wall Street, that's good news because then the Fed won't raise interest rates as aggressively. I would have liked to have seen a better number. I feel like the economy is starting to kick along here. We had some horrible weather in March. You know, maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, the Northeast, I mean, we're hit with a nor'easter almost once a week during the month of March. Maybe that had something to do with it. So, like these things, you always got to look at the revisions, and you have to look at like 3 months in a row before you really start to kind of have a trend or have an opinion about it.
Now, my biggest concern, and I've been bitching about this all week, is the wage growth. You know, the average wage growth was 8 cents an hour, which turns out to be $160 a year. I mean, where are we going with this? You know, we still don't have, we may have a lot of jobs, but we don't have a lot of good jobs. And I think that to me remains the major issue, is the ability to create good, solid jobs where people can actually work and save and not be, you know, on the hook for insurance and all these other things. I mean, you're seeing what's going on with a lot of these pensions now to tie in with this. You know, Harvey, Illinois, you know, they fired half their police department, fire department because they can't, they've absconded with the pensions. And one of the things they bought was makeup. I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
I know. I saw that. Yeah. Well, I mean, here we go. I mean, it's people in, you know, public positions that are just immature and irresponsible. I mean, you know, who that guy in California was paying himself $800,000 a year to run like a small city. I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, I think what we're working on right now in the U.S., and this is partly, you know, the trade deals and, you know, and things like that, is to make things fairer. I mean, to make our economy dynamic again. I mean, it's not so kind of, you know, it's not unfair for other countries. There's not, you know, illegal immigrants coming in, depressing wages. I mean, I think, you know, Trump is just trying to clean up these messes that have been decades in the making. And once that all gets going, and, you know, education, and I know you and I both feel strongly about that, that's another element to this. But once all that kind of starts to get fixed, we're going to start seeing the economy dynamic again. And that'll mean regular wage growth, I hope.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, again, we both want everything to work smoothly instead of the way that it works right now. And I think that, you know, we don't have the right people in the right jobs. And I think that's one of the things that Trump is trying to do. But of course, you have continued, you know, you have the richest woman in Congress fighting about the most ridiculous nonsense in Nancy Pelosi. But what do you see? Do you see this problem resolving? I mean, Paul Ryan is out. We're losing a lot of Republicans. You know, 42 seats are going to open up. So that could create some issues. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's what I don't want to see is a bunch of people be elected that want to go back to where we were. What I want to see, people come in office that want to change, that are on board. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, the Paul Ryan stuff and, you know, all the others. And I was like, well, you know, Todd, you and I have talked about this. I was like, we want to see new, fresh blood in office. We don't want people to come in there and be there for 50, 60, 70 years in some cases. And, you know, I mean, if you have people that come in and, you know, with fresh ideas and they leave after a few terms, I think that's a good thing. So, but I just, again, I hope that people come in office that really want to make some changes.
Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. As always, I thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we want to remind you to download our show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need with full 24-hour-a-day programming. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Of DemeterResearch.com and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com, and Matt, you know, we see Canada, they're running TV commercials ahead of their upcoming IPO on cryptos. What are your thoughts of all that? That shows acceptance to me right away.
That you can do TV commercials on regarding crypto,
and the Canadian Bitcoin Exchange is doing that. So I mean, obviously their department, whoever, you know, we have the FTC, they accepted it. So I mean, obviously that's something that's pretty interesting when you look at this market.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that legitimizes it as well. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm surprised we haven't seen it here. Maybe it's been tried, but it's been shut down. I don't know. You can see web ads, obviously, for different cryptos, but I think some of those are being taken down by, I think, Facebook?
Facebook and Twitter took them down.
Twitter did. So that's stupid. It'll come back. But, and we talked about, you know, MailChimp. Last time,
right?
They everybody's trying to censor it, but
you know, I don't know why they want to censor it. But of course, the Winklevoss boys, the Facebook guys, actually they got a patent for their security on digital transactions. Did you see anything about that?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I've been like had my head down looking at individual cryptos recently, but no, that's cool. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of ETFs coming to market too. And I think that was a positive coming out of the SEC, where they have recommended that ETFs would be allowed to go forward, Bitcoin ETFs, because now that the futures are, and actually that was I should back up. I think that was due to a letter from the CEO of the CME that he sent a letter to the SEC saying he thought that ETFs should go forward. For Bitcoin, of course, that helps him out because these ETFs are going to be holding Bitcoin futures, not Bitcoin itself. So, and that's one of their products is Bitcoin futures. So obviously that would get more going for him.
Well, it creates a lot more for arbitrage and everything else because now they get a lot more commission. So yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I regardless of his, you know, he has an obvious profit motive, but regardless, I think that's a good idea too. I think that the ETF should be allowed to go forward. I just in general, I think, you know, that if the SEC allows Bitcoin ETFs to go forward, they're essentially, you know, sanctioning it. They're saying it's, you know, it's okay by us. So I think that's good.
You know, and I agree 100%. I think that is paving the way. And, you know, they've been trying for Bitcoin ETFs, I think, for about 4 or 5 years now. And of course, that they get those approved. I think that really opens up the market to everybody. And again, obviously, you've got the regulated exchanges, which are centralized, right? But then you've got the ability to use the cryptocurrencies on the outside in the decentralized markets and be able to trade around there. And I think that will also start to cut back on some of the scams in this industry as well. What do you think?
I think so. You know, I think the more regulated it gets, the less scams there will be. Although I would rather be on more, as I've always said, I'd rather be more unregulated and have more scams. But, you know, just for the freedom of it. But the thing that I would like to have is, yeah, I'd like to have a Bitcoin ETF, because then we could start because then they would probably list options on those ETFs, and then you could have a real hedge against the overall cryptocurrency market. Because one thing that I have a problem with right now is if I see a big sell off coming, like we talked about, you know, in December and January. Look, if a big sell off is coming, what do you do? All you can do is basically you could hedge by shorting Bitcoin futures, but basically what do you do? Go to 100% cash? Like, you know, I'm you know, with Crypto Investor X, we've got a portfolio of about 20 cryptos right now. And if you see a big sell off coming, it's typically going to hit the whole market. You know, if Bitcoin goes down, they all go down. So that eventually will change, where the correlation, you know, isn't so tight between Bitcoin and the rest. But what if I see Bitcoin, you know, going down? Do I have to sell everything, go to cash again? I mean, I don't want to do that. I want to have at least 50% still in crypto. So, but you're just going to take your hit. I'd rather be able to buy, you know, Bitcoin puts.
Right.
And,
but I have a question for you. That makes sense. But let me ask you this. But since those markets, since the option markets right now don't trade all the time, and the futures trade, you know, there's some times that they're closed. What if the sell-off is coming, you know, it comes out of nowhere and you would have liked to have done something and you can't, then what do you do?
Well, it's like we said, you know, I'd like to, even though the puts would only trade, you know, 5 days a week, that would be a negative, but you know, you'd still get covered, you know, 5 out of 7 days. If a bottom happened on a Saturday or a Sunday, I guess you would have to do is just buy more Bitcoin and then cover, you know, sell your puts, you know, the second you could on a Monday. But I still think it would have some value. I know there are companies out there that will do options already on at least on Bitcoin, and I don't know about other cryptos, but they're not any of the mainstream exchanges. And I you know, I've come to trust certain exchanges, and you know, many of the others I'm not familiar with. I don't, you know, I would tread lightly on them. So I don't see a lot of other alternatives. If I had a 7 day alternative for options, I'd take it.
But of course, you're looking at a chart, and if you would assume that, you know, the markets might bottom on over a weekend, and you might just go ahead and buy puts on a Friday just to be protected in case you're reading it right. Because again, you do look for price and you do look for action, and that's part of learning how to read the chart, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just having another tool would be good. To hedge, as opposed to just every time you think a big sell-off is coming, you have to sell everything down to cash. It would be good to have another option than that.
Now, do you see the commissions and charges coming down too? I mean, if we get more competition in this industry, it brings down the cost as well, does it not?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Binance is the biggest exchange right now. And they have their commission structure. They have their own coin. So if you buy their own coin, then it's kind of like a coupon on commissions. I think it gets it down to about 0.05%, which isn't bad compared to most others, which are 0.25% still. So a quarter percent commission is pretty big. Those have to come down. But I think Binance being the largest and having their own coin, which, like I said, takes the commission down to either 0.05% or 0.1%. That's a step in the right direction that will force, you know, the other exchanges probably to do make similar moves.
Now, you know, I know a number of family offices that have started to invest ways long ago. Okay, you know, let's say a year or two ago. In your eyes, when does you think that it will become fully approved? Not approved, but fully. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of the word I'm looking for, but where family offices will now use that as one of their investing tools, I guess. Do you think that's pretty close? I mean, George Soros, as we talked about earlier, is doing it. So is this become, you know, is this the year that they start using more of this in a lot of the family offices as well?
Yeah, big time. I mean, so Coinbase has they're shooting off an institutional arm, so they'll deal with big players. They're solving some of the issues around custodianship. You know, you had an explosion of hedge funds, crypto hedge funds last year, and you know they've come up with solutions for custodianship, which they needed to have, and. Yeah, and I'm aware of a couple other exchange efforts, exchanges that are dedicated to working with institutions. So I'm intimately familiar with one here in Florida that I think is a good idea. So the solutions for institutions are coming. Yeah, this year will be the year for institutions to come in, and that's good for everyday retail investors because you know once that institutional money starts flooding in. These prices are going higher.
Oh no, I agree with that. I think that's the whole reason in this market that you want to be doing your research to find the coins or the you know whatever they're called the, you know that you want to start to get into. And I think that's kind of what you're doing with Crypto Investor X is trying to educate everybody on your website CryptoInvestorX.com. Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're trying to find the best projects. So we're looking at, you know, all those issues you should look at, like development team, who's backing it, first and foremost the idea and what the market size looks like. And so yeah, and we go through that, we explain all the things why we like something and we, you know, show step by step how to open exchanges, how to open up wallets and so forth. So it is educational.
Yeah, I mean that's what it's all about. I mean again, it's half the battle is learning what is going on and how to understand and take part in these things, and that's where, you know, CryptoInvestorX.com. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show with Todd Bob Horowitz and Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, we want to remind you to actually don't forget to check out The Bubba Show at LibertyTalk.fm. You can download it every day. And, of course, we're looking for you to help us get to our goals. So go check out The Bubba Show at LibertyTalk.fm. And also don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and you can download the link, and I will email it to you every day, the update of what I think happened during the day and what I expect to happen tomorrow. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. We're going to step out of a break. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, you know, the market's been kind of quirky this week. Stock market up and running. Had some wild action. What's your take? What do you foresee here now?
Well, I think I'm looking right now. I'm still looking at SPY, the ETF, because I get a little more data points out of it than I do out of the S&P itself. I don't know if it's broken out. Right now I'm looking at it just above 267, and I'm seeing resistance at 269, pivot resistance there. If it takes out 269, then and definitely 270, then I think we're going significantly higher. Otherwise, I think it really hasn't broken out from – we have some declining resistance that it's still screwing around with, and we have this inclining resistance, this pivot resistance right around 269. Gets past that, then, you know, I would at that point throw in the towel on the bearish side. I'm neutral right now as far as a trading position because I think it's pushed a little bit higher than I'd like to have seen. And when I see that the commercials are so short, the VIX, you know, record short the VIX – you know, like I said, most of the time they're right. Not always, but I think that's a good, you know, a good indication we'll get more upside eventually. So so right now I'm neutral, but I could definitely see another. The thing is, we're stuck in this spot that if we could still go down to around 250 in SPY unless we break above 269.
Right. So this could be, I mean, this is like a great horse race. It could go either way from here. It's still in that key area. And of course, we've seen oil all of a sudden explode. And I know you had a target much higher in oil, and I think it was a rising target, right?
Yeah, it was a rising target. It's now at $70.30. I don't know if it's going to make it there. I have another pattern going on in the daily RSI, which looks like it should be peaking out here around 65. So the daily RSI should peak maybe, possibly around 65. Otherwise, if it goes any further, well, I'll have to extend this pattern to a totally different one. The price of oil right now, $67 and roughly 20 cents. I think this would be a good spot to short. I mean, we're already short.
Right.
But I think, you know, max upside here is this $70.30 area.
So it'd be a good spot to take a shot at it. And of course, you know, we've been talking about gold, you know, back and forth for months. But, you know, you originally thought maybe 1400, and it's been in this, for, I don't know, about 3 months now. It's really just been stuck between, let's say, 1310 and 1365. And then it finally looked like it made a new support level at about 1330. And of course, on Wednesday, it sparked up to through 1365 and, of course, failed. And then on Thursday, it collapsed back down to the same level. So what are you seeing in gold?
Well, you know, I have this, you know, I keep going back to the same. It's amazing because I've had this the same pattern for since the beginning of the year. And all we've done is chop sideways. The pattern has top line resistance comes in at 1401 today. It's slowly declining. So that's still the target high, and the target low comes in at about 1280. So neither one has been hit. The one I'm talking about at 1280 is rising. The one at, you know, 1401 is declining. So it's forming a wedge that they cross over in September, October. So by September, October, one of these has to be hit. Until then, it's just kind of a crapshoot. I still think the upside is a little bit more likely than the downside, but who knows really at this point.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only thing I would say is I like silver. I think silver is positioned well.
I like silver too, and I think silver is getting ready to break out as well. I'm with you there, and I think the ratio gold to silver is way too high, but of course it can go higher until it doesn't. But I think that, you know, I think silver is more likely to break out. But again, they're both in a pattern that really is suggesting a big move is coming, and it's just a question of which way they're going to break, right? I mean, that's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. It just, you know, the thing with gold too is like every time we move up, you see the commercials pile on shorts. So that is not indicative of the commercials control these two markets, silver in particular, because it's a much smaller market. You're talking about a $20 billion market in silver. You're talking about an $8 trillion market in gold. So you can move silver around a lot easier than you can gold. But they still fairly well control gold too, but at least on the margin, which is all you really need to do. What I'm looking at is every time gold moves up, they short the hell out of it, and that tells me that gold at least has one more big move to the downside before the commercials can clear out those shorts, cover them, and get into at least a neutral position if there's going to be a much, you know, bigger run to the upside. Silver, they've already done that. Silver, they've already gotten down to a neutral position as far as they're basically flat silver, which is, you know, an all-time record bullish position for them because they're almost always short.
Right. No, I see that. And of course, the dollar is almost in the same pattern. I mean, it just continues to churn between, what, about 88 and 91-ish kind of, and it just back and forth. What's your take?
The dollar, yeah, it's just, you know, it looks to me like it's done to the downside, but we're just chopping around waiting for something. Not sure what it's waiting for, but yeah, it hasn't done anything wrong. It hasn't done anything wrong. I think you know, we're still probably targeting the 120s, you know, the low 120s. So that's further out. You know, we'll have to see how things go between, you know, that's a long time from now probably. But, you know, I'm still long and still looking for the dollar to go higher. The only thing that would upset the chart is if we went below 87.90. At that point, the pattern breaks and then I would, you know, throw in the towel.
It's still waiting for Demeter Research to give its approval that it can go up. That's right. There you go. Any of the other currencies showing you anything special?
Well, the flip side of the dollar, obviously, is the euro. Commercials are super short the euro. That's a good thing if you're long the dollar. And we're also short the euro. The pound, I have a big pattern in that gets it up to 148, almost 148 and a half. And I think that one's gonna be hit. And when it's hit, then I think we could see a very big sell-off in the pound. But until then, I think 148 is our target, and I think it'll make it. It's only at 142 now, but so that means it's still a pretty good run. But I think we'll get there.
And no doubt, you know, you've been pretty much on top of the markets. And lastly, the bond markets. What's your take of the bond markets?
Bond market's really tough too, because it's been a sort of choppy upward move. I have when I'm looking at TLT, I have support down at 110. Which we're pretty far away from. And then I have resistance up at 130, which we're pretty far away from. So, we're at 120. So we're halfway in between. So I'm not really doing anything with it. I want to see us get higher so I can short it. Or look, if we get down to 110, I'll actually buy for a bounce. But right here, I'm not touching. It's just I can't get an edge on it.
That's what makes you a great trader. And of course, and that's what we're always looking to help others out with on our show. And of course, that's what Demeter Research is about, and Bubba Trading is to try to help people make them better traders at everything. And that's what our idea is we want to help you understand and have a better view of what the trading world is all about. And of course, that's what the Bubba Show is all about. And that's what Demeter Research is all about. And that's what, of course, Bubba Trading is all about, is to help make you a better trader and a better investor. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and we have spent the time with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. And of course, Jane King was along for the ride. And we want to remind you to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget to get the Sporting Edge there as well. And of course, our high school investing program, we continue to try to educate our youth, and we want to make sure that we give them the best chance to actually take care of our futures, because if we educate them when they're young, we will not have the same issues we have as we have today with the people that are running what's going on our financial system. In the meantime, all you have to do is, if you want to help us out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that is Patreon. patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can help us out and help us continue this great service we're offering. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free every day at BubbaTrading.com. All you do is go fill out the link. It's free. And of course, you will get it emailed to you each and every day. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz. As always, we thank you for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, right here on the Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.